Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I just saw a great movie.
Which one?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
No way.
Have you seen it?
No.
Well, why are you making that face, dude?
Because half the movie is dudes running around in rubber costumes.
No, it's not like that.
Sure it's not.
Do you even know what it's about?
It's about the freaking Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
No, you don't know what it's about.
Dude, I saw the preview. It has James Franco in it.
No, dude. It does not.
Doesn't it?
I'm going to tell you what it's about.
James Franco's in every movie.
I want you to shut your mouth and listen.
No.
All right.
It's learning time.
All right. Rise of the Planet of the Apes is a really good story about a guy named Shea Weber who gets all the troops together and they overthrow David Poyle and they take over Nashville Predators.
I was wondering how this might tie in. Now I know.
It's a good movie, dude. You got to give it a chance.
I don't know.
You'd love it.
Rubber ape costume.
It's not a rubber ape costume, dude.
Okay. Graphite ape costume.
You love animal movies.
Yes, I do.
I see the DVD collection of Babe the Pig right over here.
Don't forget
side.
Babe 2, Pig in the City.
Don't forget The Lion King. All of them, including the DVD set.
Maybe.
Yeah, and what's that right next to those DVDs, dude, in your prize collection area?
Inception on Blu-ray?
No, dude, it looks like a photo.
It is, dude.
What is that?
This is a photo of Dan Boyle.
Is it?
Even more importantly, it's a photo of Dan Boyle wearing a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That is cool, dude. Tell the story.
Our boy Matt hooked us up. He told us back when we sent him the t-shirts and he sent us the autographed pictures of Boyle, which if you listen to that podcast, it was about maybe a couple months ago. He said, hey, if you wouldn't mind sending t-shirts, I can give one to Dan. He always likes free t-shirts. So
who doesn't?
Who doesn't like free t-shirts? And I'm actually wearing a shark shirt right now, as are you.
Yeah.
So actually,
in August.
Why not? So I sent him the two shirts and he says, great. Okay. And he sends us these pictures now last week. So it's a picture of him with DB22 or Dan Boyle, whatever you want to call him. And this also this one of Dan and one with him pointing at the dude on the back of the shirt. So we're going to put those on the blog. It's pretty awesome.
Instantly became the coolest listener ever.
Absolutely. Yeah. So who's going to top it? So okay,
what's better than that?
Pictures of the Pope and a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt.
I don't know.
It's don't close know. Yeah, that's about on par, isn't it? Now that I think about it,
what would be the ultimate here if he wore that Dudes on Hockey t-shirt into the locker room?
Right, he wears it next to Joe Thornton, who of course would not be wearing a shirt.
What about pre-game in the Sharks locker room? We're seeing him interviewed by Rusinowski and he's wearing the Dudes on Hockey t-shirt.
How about,
what would you do if we saw that in the arena? Would you just completely lose it?
I'd probably scream like a little girl at like a at a Justin Bieber concert.
Oh my god, that's very accurate, dude. I'm surprised, you're so good at that.
I've been taking classes. Well, Sharks win the cup. Right before he takes the cup, he puts on the t-shirt.
That's the ultimate. You're right. That's the ultimate. That is awesome. Matt, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And we'll put these pictures up. And I think the listeners, everyone's going to get a kick out of this. We sure have. Dude,
it's been really fun.
It made summertime hockey even that more exciting. So
it did.
Dan Boyle, thanks for being cool. Thanks for being you, dude.
Thanks for being you.
You are a dude. What else, dude? Not a lot of Sharks news this week.
No.
Not a lot going on, although, you know, I mean, just kind of side noted. You maybe saw today that it looks like the parent company that runs the Sharks, they let some people go. It doesn't really have anything to do with the operation of the Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
But Pollock felt it was important enough to write about it. David Pollock, the beat writer of the Sharks for the San Jose Mercury News. I guess that's not too surprising given the economic climate, dude.
And the sort of the management changes that have gone over in the past year. And frankly, that kind of ties into an email that we got, questions at dudesonhockey.com.
Let's hit it.
You can tweet at us too. We're Dudes on Hockey on Twitter, and we do have a Facebook page if you want to search for us there. So we're basically covering every medium.
Social network whoring.
If there's like a way for us to do Dudes on Hockey in mime, we would do it.
Wait, here we go. We're gonna try it.
Okay, go.
Good That's job. That was
better
good.
Than I thought, yeah, actually.
It the point Jeff Lee got across.
Okay. So this is from Scott from San Jose. I know you guys were never huge fans of the state of the Sharks, and other than a sick sideshow curiosity, neither was I, but I did appreciate the fact that the Sharks management and players took the time to address the fans and publicly reflect on what they thought of the previous season and what lies ahead. Do you think the Sharks are doing their fans a disservice by no longer having this event? Huh. And P.S., he's disappointed that we didn't wrap up Chi-Chi Watch because he signed in St. Louis last month. Okay, so Scott, this one's for you here.
You know what time it is. It's Chi-Chi Watch 2010! Seriously?
Hey, dude, guess what? Chi-Chi signed with St. Louis.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. That's really great. Yeah, I think we reported that when it happened, though, didn't we?
Yeah, it did. But we didn't use the music, so Scott, we're sorry.
Yeah, we are sorry about that.
So back to the state of the Sharks. Dude.
Right.
It hasn't happened the last two seasons.
Two summers, yeah. That's right.
Any coincidence that those are the two summers that following us making the Western Conference Finals?
No.
You don't think that has anything to do with it?
I think it has something more to do with Greg Jameson than it has to do with the Sharks going to the Western Conference Finals, to be honest.
I sort of felt like the other two times, maybe it's been three that they've done. The two that I remember the most, I mean, the one that I think we remember the most is after the Ducks loss and,
right.
You know, Dan Boyle sitting out there, you know, kind of taking the lumps, and the rest of the guys out there too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then that was kind of before we had to deal with a lot of questions about coaching. It's before McClellan was hired.
Right.
And then, you know, wait, am I getting this right? Dude.
No, McClellan has been there at once, I think.
McClellan was there for the Ducks.
Yeah.
Wait, McClellan going his fourth year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What was the year before that? That was the year that we lost to.
That was the year we lost in the second round of the Wings, maybe? One of many?
Dude. We're...
Dude, do we have to talk about that? Is this really important?
My point is, as we brought the show to a screeching halt,
right.
Is that I feel like they did these when they felt like they had to defend themselves.
Oh,
and now,
okay.
Why do you have to defend yourself when you've made the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row? Maybe they feel like they don't. What do they have to say?
That's an interesting point, but the question is, do you think the Sharks are doing their fans a disservice by no longer having this event? Maybe that might or might not be the justification for them not doing it, but nonetheless, do you think they're doing their fans a disservice by not having it?
No, I appreciate that I don't have to go and sit and listen to all those stupid questions.
Right. See, I appreciate that, but I still think the Sharks should have it, even though it makes us cringe.
Does every other team do it? Are they the only ones that don't?
I have no idea.
I can't imagine that every team does it.
No, I wouldn't think so, but can you imagine the Rangers doing it or the Flyers?
Yeah.
Like, they'd throw snowballs at Santa Claus and
beat
them up.
I don't know. I mean, we'd have to poke around a little bit, but I think I don't. The Giants don't do that. The 49ers
right.
don't do that.
Right.
Warriors don't do that. I mean, to even take the time and invite the fans to come in, and I felt like the two times that it's really sticking out of my memory were times that those off seasons. You know, this year we were disappointed. Those other 2 years we were mad,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of people were mad. So they felt like they had to kind of placate the crowd a little bit
right.
by allowing people to kind of air their grievances, which most of them end up being about the bathrooms
in private in their jet situation.
Yeah,
or
and the travel situation.
Right.
So
yeah, I understand that. I still appreciate it when management gives their customers the ability to have feedback into the process.
Right, but don't the Sharks still do that by having their ice? They do those
the ice insights.
Yeah, they do that.
I guess. I suppose so. I guess that maybe that's why they discontinued it. But I don't think none of those were ever with Greg Jameson. Like really, I guess Doug Wilson would be the tops, and it's more like, you know, franchise moving situations with State of the Sharks. I don't know. I appreciate the gesture, although I always found it excruciating. I always always appreciate the fact that they wanted to do it.
Right.
And I didn't get that excruciating feeling because of the stuff that the coach said or that Greg Jameson said.
No, it was their response.
It was the dumbass questions that everybody else had. Yeah. So that was the problem. So I appreciate them doing it. I wish they still did it.
Do you think they screened and looked for the people who are least likely to ask a tough question? Because they certainly, I don't remember there being a lot of, if people have been there and they remember a tough question, I don't really remember one, dude.
I remember maybe that were, I mean, the thing is, you're standing in front of a few thousand people,
right?
And all those people are fans of the franchise. Are you really going to go up there and just rip into somebody on the Sharks?
No.
You're going to have everybody against you. It takes
a certain
amount of chutzpah.
Totally off topic.
Yeah.
Did you see I think it was on the Crosschecks blog on ESPN, they posted this goalie fight. Slovakian goalie fight.
Cool.
Actually, I'm sorry. It wasn't even a goalie fight. It's this goalie that has a total epic meltdown.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of gets crowded in his crease. His team's winning 3-0. And then he starts swinging his goalie stick at a guy like a baseball bat.
Wow.
Like he's going to murder him.
Wow.
And then he starts throwing his equipment into the crowd. It's like a 5-minute thing.
Wow.
And it's this full-blown bench-emptying brawl. And then it ends up with this guy stripping down his equipment.
It's like the end of Slapshot.
And then he's like shocked that he got kicked out.
That's the best.
As he's leaving, he's like going, you know, getting into it with the crowd, with employees.
Nice.
Oh, dude, it's good. Maybe we'll put a link up to it. It's pretty funny, but it's also kind of disturbing.
Right. That the guy just completely loses it.
Yeah, he completely lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good.
No, not really. This isn't tying into other news, NHL news.
Well, I mean, you know, dude, do we want to get serious for a moment?
I guess let's get serious.
We can. I mean, that's got a little levity to it, but, you know, this off-ice issues, you know, this guy had an on-ice issue, but, you know, we saw the death of a suicide of another NHL player.
Is that for sure?
Well, I don't know if it is. Maybe I shouldn't say it's for sure.
Right.
But it is.
That's rumored.
It's alleged.
Right.
Death of a player who had off-ice mental health problems, you know?
The death isn't alleged.
Well, but the cause of death.
Right.
Dude,
I'm sorry.
Why?
I know.
What's going on here today?
I know. I'm not trying to make light of this terrible situation.
Well,
but
of course not. But this is an interesting topic, and I know it came up a little bit today as they're doing their kind of evaluation of the NHL and rule changes and policies, and there was some discussion of, you know, how to handle, you know, players and their, you know, off ice issues.
Yeah.
You know, we saw Jordan Tutu this year leave for an extended period of time to deal with, you know, whatever his off ice issue is, whether it was mental health or drug or alcohol. I'm not sure. What do you make of this, dude?
I think things sort of come in groups sometimes, and I think it sort of, you know, takes home the possibility that, you know, we talked about, you know, Derek Boogaard earlier in the summer. I mean, this is another guy who lost his life this year. I mean, these guys are under a pretty intense amount of stress. And I guess
three hockey players in 1 year.
I guess it's not that surprising to see that, you know, these guys are in fact human. They have to deal with the pressures of life like everyone else. And maybe they don't have the same financial pressures as you or I might have. They probably have a lot of different kind of social pressures and societal pressures than we have to deal with every day. So, you know, Rick Rippon apparently did not have a problem with substance abuse, at least according to some reports. And he was feeling pretty upbeat even as recent as a week or two ago. So it's sort of a terrible turn of events that all of a sudden, you know, he's sort of found in his home, you know, passed away. So that's, you know, it's really terrible. That's three, right? And one connected to the Sharks organization, Tom Cavanaugh. So, Yeah, it's just...
I guess if anything sort of hits home as, you know, these guys, as much as we put them on a pedestal, they are normal, everyday people right. like all of us, and they have problems. Some mm-hmm. of them have you know, dark issues you
right.
know, that they deal with and things, you know, I mean, and as much as we also like to make fun of the Theo Fleury book.
Right.
I mean, if you read that book, I mean, it's amazing that Theo Fleury is still alive.
It kind of is.
I mean, the situations that he could have been like one really severe misstep away from being in the same situation as these guys. And it's actually, thinking on it now, it's shocking that he's not
I mean,
dead.
He went through a hell of a lot of problems, and you sort of add to that, you know, this culture of sports where people are probably pretty reticent to talk about problems, either personal or otherwise.
Right.
You know, it's the hockey, maybe even more so than a lot of other sports, is, you know, rub some dirt on it, you're not hurt, you're okay. And if you're trying to admit something like you're having a, you know, a personal issue, I can imagine that being brushed off pretty easily, you know, in the culture of the locker room. So, you know, you see sometimes you see some stuff like this happen. It's terrible.
Well, there was the Oakland A's pitcher, I think, 2 years ago.
Hideki Urami?
No. Justin. It's a long name. This starts with a D. I can't remember. But he had, you know, I think he had some sort of depression issues. So, I don't know, dude. Hopefully.
We've turned this show into a bummer.
We won't see any more tragic cases like this. But
that's right.
Certainly. I guess you have to expect it at some point. You know, these guys are people too, right?
Yeah, and I hope that maybe this might put a little bit of ideas in the minds of, you know, managers and coaches and other players that, hey, you know, this does happen even to hockey players, and, you know, take a look out to see if, you know, guys around you are seeming, you know, a little bit off or different or whatever, and you think they might have a problem. So,
speaking of guys who are a little off in a positive way.
Okay.
All right. Have you been reading Brent Burns' Twitter?
Absolutely, I have.
It is a must.
Awesome.
A must subscribe if you are on Twitter.
It's like Burnsy88.
Yeah,
or something.
It's so funny. I mean, like, he went to Napa. Like, he's just, you could just tell that he loves life,
yeah,
and likes to have a good time, and he's an interesting personality.
He's just like a sort of a weird dude, which is
cool. He's
got
this giant Harry Potter tattoo.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's an individual. I think maybe sort of in, I don't know if we've had quite a character like this since Al Iafredi, you know?
Yeah.
He seems to be a little bit in the realm of the planet, you know?
Yeah.
A guy who just goes to his own drummer, you know. It's gonna be fun. I think it's gonna be interesting to see him be part of this team, you know. Joe Thornton's kind of a fun personality too, so
right,
to see them thrown together, there could be some hilarious commercials this year, dude.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, he's sort of the Brian Wilson of the Sharks at the moment, isn't
right,
he
right?
Yeah
a little bit, maybe not quite as
weird out there.
No, Brian Wilson kind of goes out of his way to be outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're watching the franchise now, the San Francisco Giants reality series. It's good times. Right?
I love it. Yeah, I love sports documentaries, and the franchise is at least as good as any of the others I've ever seen. So,
a few other little nuts and bolts to take care of, dude. We saw Holmgren is reaching into a time machine and has invited Michael Nylander to come to Flyers training camp and try and rekindle the magic of the 2004-2005 New York Rangers and put them on a line with Jagr, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, this is a guy who has been in the AHL the last 2 years, mostly because of his contract
was
situation.
Was this the guy that got lent out to the Panthers, or was that somebody else?
Yes.
Because that was a weird situation. That's something,
right,
I haven't heard of in forever, where you can,
right,
actually lend players to other franchises, like you see sometimes in English Premier,
yeah,
League soccer.
This was, I think, the first situation that I know of.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, you see teams, so the Thomas Greiss, that happened last year, but you sent him overseas.
Yeah, you sent him to another team in a different league.
He wasn't allowed to play for the Panthers. He was playing for the Panthers AHL team.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't think he was allowed to play for the Panthers. Similar to, you know, what you see in the premiership, you know,
mm-hmm,
where,
mm-hmm,
you can loan a guy to another team, but they can't play against you.
Right.
So does Nylander have a prayer of making this team? So they're going to give Nylander like a top three center role on this team?
No way. I don't see how that could happen. Does he have a prayer? Sure. Is it likely? No.
Okay.
That's why I think about Michael Nylander. He was a great player in his heyday. Unfortunately, that heyday is well in the rear view at this point.
Scott Hannon, market was set by Colin White. Thank you or up yours very much. I'm sure from Hannon, $1 million deal to play with the Calgary Flames. Good deal, right?
Good deal for the Flames. Absolutely, sure. It is. Are you having some buyer's remorse? Would you rather have had Hannon than Colin White at this point?
You know, that's really hard to say because I haven't seen enough of Colin White to know that Hannon would be a better player. I think what I like about Colin White more is the physicality and the size of Colin White. I think that's going to take some of the pressure off of Murray. And obviously they're looking for that, you know, I mean, to have, you know, bringing in Vandermeer and Colin White, you know, those are two big physical defensemen. So they're probably looking for that element instead of more of a passive. I mean, Hannon's a little more in the Vlasic mode, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with Colin White for right now. And because I didn't really feel like Scott Hannon, from what I saw of the Capitals, you know, I know he played a lot of minutes for them, but it wasn't like he was a supreme difference maker for them, right?
Yeah, but a defensive defenseman hardly ever is.
Right. So if you're the Capitals, I mean, what does this say about Hannon where they chose not to wait out that market and they instead give Roman Hamrlik? I mean, he's getting like three times the money.
I know. I don't understand that either.
So that seems like a bit of a poor
a miss by the Caps, to, I yeah. think.
What else I want to talk to you about? Matt Nieto did not make the Team USA World Juniors. He is cut already. And former prospect Charlie Coyle, still ticking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So happy about that, dude. You want him to go down?
I can't wish bad on a kid who's never played in the
Nancy
NHL.
Nancy Kerrigan style?
No, I can't wish bad on Charlie Coyle.
Of course not, dude. Of course not, dude. But I'm not rooting for him.
Yeah.
Dude,
not exactly.
In looking in the crystal ball news, you can see on Kevin Allen, who's the NHL beat writer for USA Today, wrote an article basically previewing some of the free agent market in 2012. You know, and I know that's a ways away, but it's interesting to kind of take a look at this list, dude. You've got guys like Ryan Suter,
sure.
Who I don't think it's a lock that he's going to sign.
Well, the
with
whole
Nashville.
Shea Weber thing, I think, has indicated that.
I don't think it's a lock at all. That, you know, Pekka is also unrestricted.
Yeah.
So, what will happen in Nashville this year? Are they just? It's going to be real indicative as the season goes. I mean, do you trade these guys to try and get something?
Well, I think they're going to try to make the run at them and see if they can sign them. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a situation where they all stay or they all go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you can't keep,
if you can't
keep Weber, then Rene and Suter won't want to stay. So they're all going to go. So you might as well just trade them all and then they'll have to start over again.
If they trade one, you got to trade them all.
I think so.
Zach Parise.
Right.
That's sort of
a mini controversy in Jersey about the captaincy there because no one's wearing the C right now, and everyone says, oh, it probably should be Parise, but he's only going to be there 1 year, and giving it to Kovalchuk just kind of seems kind of lame. So, well, that's a little mini controversy there. If they give Parise the C, it might indicate that they're really interested in signing him long term, which I think would be the right move for the Devils.
Players who are going to be unrestricted, but I don't think they'll even make it to that point. Nicholas Cronwall, there's no way the Wings let him go.
No way.
Brad Stewart, I think also they're gonna find a way to keep him. Shane Doan has never played for another team in the NHL.
That's right.
It would be surprising.
He could go back to the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's possible. You know, I just don't think they're going to let him leave. You know, the Penguins, unless Chris Kunitz kind of gets outrageous dollar signs. I don't really see them letting him walk away. I don't think Burke is going to let Grabowski hit the open market.
No.
the players on this list that are the most interesting to me are RJ Umberger. If the Blue Jackets don't take that next step this year and probably make the playoffs, Umberger might just say, I want out of here.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
So he could be a guy who maybe wants to test the market. Alish Hemsky.
Right.
Don't you think the Oilers are just going to let him go, dude? He's going to get traded this year, right?
Wow, that's a tough call.
But if you're the Oilers, if someone's going to give you a first...
You got to keep one guy around, right? You can't just go only with 22-year-olds, can you?
Sure you can, if you want to keep getting the number one pick.
I guess. I think Hemsky would be the right kind of guy to keep around. I mean, you don't...
Even put together a full healthy season.
That's true, but...
If you can get, like, a good young player for him, or a number one pick, another team's, like, first rounder, he's having a good year, he's, you know, plays 35 games, he's got, you know, high 30 points, I think you trade him right then.
Yeah.
Get the most value you can.
You're right. I mean, everyone's always available for the right price, and if they can get a great price for him, then I guess you take it.
I think he's toast, man. And then he'll hit the market. And then the player that I think is a lock to hit the market is Alexander Semin.
Really?
Based on, dude, did you see what Matt Bradley said?
I did.
Yeah, I think it was either this morning or yesterday on radio.
Yeah, he said basically that the team is sort of a little bit too nonchalant overall. And he said Semin was a guy who had amazing talent, had the amount of talent to be one of the best players or the best player in the league, and he just sort of didn't seem to care.
He said his heart was in Russia or something like that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, that's funny because that's not altogether different than what some people had said about Alexei Kovalev here in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of interesting. I wonder if that's sort of like a Russian, anti-Russian bias. Probably part of it. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what George McPhee thinks about Alexander Semin, because he's only got one more year left at $6 million, I think, is his hit. So the question is, would he want to come out from behind the giant? You know,
I'm sorry, I'm thinking about him playing the bongos right now in that fight.
I wonder if he might want to come out from behind the giant and blazing star of Alexander Ovechkin and maybe be the number one, you know, talked about guy for a team, because he would be the number one talked about guy on a lot of teams.
Yeah, but is he really? Can he pick up the pail and run? Yeah, he's got the talent. I wouldn't want him on the Sharks.
No, I'm not saying I would want him, but I'm saying that, you know, there's a lot of things at play. If Washington has sort of another disappointing season, then maybe he might kind of want out, and you know. We'll see what, you know, he's not exactly Bruce Boudreau style. You know, he's a pretty creative.
Do you think it's possible
player.
They might even move him this year?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think that's possible. We've seen that a lot with guys who, you know, are in last year of their deal and they just don't think they can keep him. So they're like, all right, see ya.
Dude, I know we're aiming to try and keep it around 30 minutes. And with our depressing middle of the podcast, if you're still with us, dude, let's end with this. You know, I've been playing NHL 11.
Uh-huh.
Like a madman.
Yeah, you have.
And I'm doing a little training camp, who'd you rather with you. Last week we did Ethan Morrow and Chris Clark. Picked Ethan Morrow. I put him on the Sharks. I'm putting him on the third line with Hanzus and Mitchell. He's playing well. He has a goal.
Okay.
He hits.
Uh-huh.
The third line. It's no coincidence that the Sharks are undefeated.
With
Ethan Morrow, they're undefeated. Wow. Yeah.
That sounds like an endorsement of bringing Ethan Morrow to the Sharks.
So now what I'm going to do is, whoever you pick today, I'm dumping Ethan Morrow.
Okay.
I'm putting this player on the third line. We'll see how they play.
Good call.
All right, so here's the who you'd rather. It's going to be a former Shark or a former nemesis of two teams we just like mightily.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got Steve Bernier.
Steve Bernier
sitting on the scrap heap.
Oh, man.
Last year, he played for the Florida Panthers. This guy's just been a disappointment at every stop, you know?
Pretty much.
In San Jose, in Buffalo, in Vancouver.
And he was one of the players who gave up for Brian Campbell in that trade. And they look like a, you know, in retrospect, looked like a pretty good deal for the Sharks.
Right. And then he ends up in Florida as part of the Keith Ballard deal.
Right.
He's never lived up to that promise of being a a young power forward, and now he's probably in his late 20s, you know. And then you've got Fernando Pisani, a former Oiler, former Chicago Blackhawk, also unemployed, sort of famous for his battle with colitis. I mean, the guy, I mean, that's a debilitating injury, right? You know, health problem.
That sucks what that does.
But he played 2 years after that.
Right.
You know, so you got to give, this guy is not a quitter, you know,
no.
Kind of in the Jed Ortmeier mold, giving himself injections in his stomach every night.
Oh, man.
You know, between these two guys, if you had to invite one of them to training camp in a non-guaranteed deal, who'd you pick?
Pisani.
You didn't have to think about it.
No.
You want no part of the promise of Steve Bernier.
Yeah, because think about what roles we want to fill, right? We want that third line checker role, guy who can play good defense, guy who's physical, guy who doesn't quit. Bernier, does he fit all of those criteria? He might be a little bit bigger than Pisani, but I don't think he's shown a real track record of being able to play that kind of role.
Right.
Certainly not with the Sharks, certainly not with Vancouver. I know Vancouver wanted him to be that player badly, and they had a lot of people around him that could help, and he did not stick.
Should Vancouver have just... Remember, they traded for him, and then St. Louis did an offer sheet. Do you remember that? And then they matched it.
Right.
Should they probably, in retrospect, they're like, we'd rather have the second round pick.
Wait, was that a Steve Bernier offer sheet?
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure that they traded for the restricted free agent rights to Steve Bernier with Buffalo. Like, Bernier played like 15 games for Buffalo, and they already hated him. He ends up in Vancouver, and then before they can sign him, St. Louis did an offer sheet.
I thought it was somebody else.
No, it was. It was the Blues, dude.
All right.
Yeah, I remember that. It was pretty funny.
So, okay, I take Pisani. So I want to see Pisani on your NHL
11. Okay, it's going to happen. I'm going to do it tonight, and then we'll do a little five-game sample, see what happens. Two former Oilers in the rotation.
Dude. I think we've hit upon an excellent new scouting technique, dude.
NHL 11. It's the way to go.
All right, dude.
All right, dude. Well, hopefully there'll be some new news to talk about. Go see Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, and check out the Dan Boyle pictures on the blog.
Oh, dude, it's amazing.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.